So can you imagine a society where the government pays for the basic cost of living for every citizen? A universal basic income would pay every citizen the same flat fee payment regardless of their employment status. Sounds good. I think you've got me already. How would such a scheme be implemented, though, and what are the positive and negative aspects? So I've got Dr. Gigi Foster, Associate Professor of the School of Economics at the University of New South Wales, on the line to give us a bit of a background on what this is. Dr. Gigi, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Roderick. How are you?
I am very good. Now, this universal basic income idea, we've heard this before. It's not the first time it's been suggested. What's caused the idea to become discussed in Australia this year?
Well, I think there's really two main trends that have caused the discussion to erupt here. One of them is that a couple of countries in Europe particularly, but also Canada, have started actual trials of this type of policy.
Really?
So in Finland, yeah, they're doing something. In Utrecht, in the Netherlands, they're doing something. The Swiss just shot down the UBI proposal through referendum. But as I say, Canada has also trialed something. And these programs have also been running in the developing world. I think in Kenya, Uganda, they're starting one. And in India, there was a program that actually has been evaluated a bit and shown to have some benefits in terms of health outcomes and entrepreneurial outcomes and these kinds of things. And so I think some of us in the developed countries elsewhere are thinking, well, this is something that we could potentially benefit from. The other main factor really is we've seen a lot of erstwhile unpredicted events like Brexit and the Trump election. There's been increasing attention on inequality, particularly since Thomas Piketty's book. I've written on inequality as well here in Australia. And I think people are intensively feeling that there's a bit of political gridlock around some of the policies that we currently use to manage our poorest and our struggling. And so there's a strong impetus to try to do something with a capital S. And so that's why this has gotten some traction.
Right. So, I mean, currently we have like the basic wage and we have a safety net, you know, in terms of our social safety, and I suppose. How would all these things, would these things all go away and we just have this UBI? How would it work for us?
Well, I mean, obviously the devil's in the details, and it depends on who you talk to, what the implementation strategy would be. But one thing is for sure, if you want to have a universal basic income that truly is universal, so you're paying every adult man and woman in Australia a fixed amount, and that amount is usually somewhere between 10 and 25,000 Australian dollars per year, then you're talking about a pretty significant cost. And at the moment, our welfare bill is somewhere around $170 billion a year. That's just taken from a paper tabled in Parliament, I think, last year or the year before. And so, you know, that's about 10% of our GDP. If you're going to pay each person, each adult in Australia, say $20,000 a year, then you're talking about slightly more than doubling that cost. So you have to somehow also be thinking, if that's what you want to do, you have to also be thinking about changes to the taxation system, changes to the revenue base in some way. Or you're going to, some people have proposed just government prints money and just uses that to send checks to people. Then, of course, you have to worry about what that's going to cause inflation. So there's no magic bullet situation here. If you really want to do universal basic income, you have to raise the money to do it, or you have to very carefully manage the funding of it through some sort of money printing scheme and then worry about inflation.
So, I mean, this is going to require a lot of support. Who in the political arena is supporting this proposal at the moment that you're aware of?
I don't think it has any traction at all in Parliament. I mean, I've spoken to at least one parliamentarian who basically has said that. And I just don't see it being a viable something that could be put onto a bill, you know, that it would get some constituency backing it. And if you think about it, I mean, paying some quantity of money for no productive work or skills training or anything to every single person means you're also paying it to, you know, Gina Reinhart, me. You know, I don't want $20,000 every year, right? I want that money to be going towards people who really need it. And so there is a sort of regressive aspect to this scheme, as much as it is often wrapped in the flag of equality and basic right to, you know, a living income and these sorts of things. I think it's actually dangerous in a way, because some people have even said that the only reason to be trying for a UBI is a kind of a Hail Mary pass, And it would be appealing to those at the higher end of the distribution because they would also get the checks. And so sort of a political move to try to get past something that sounds progressive, even though it's not.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually quite dangerous.
I don't know when you'd be getting any sort of support from Gina Rinehart on that particular outcome. And, of course, you know, all the big banks and this, I mean, there's a lot of big, powerful people you'd have to get hired to get this up, isn't there? So
yes.
It's not not looking like something that would happen. You mentioned in Utrecht and so forth, they had a scheme there, but how do they sort of quarantine a particular city or an area? How did they do that?
Look, I don't know the details in the developed world. These trials are really just starting to happen, and I think the best policy for Australia really is to watch to see what the implementation strategies are that the European countries are trialing, because we can learn from them. We're in a very lucky position. The trials that have run the best and that have been evaluated have been, as I say, in the developing world. And there it is quite easy because you say, okay, this village, we're going to just, you know, drop cash on everyone here in this village. And because there are such extreme degrees of poverty in those countries, you can really make a big difference with just an inflow of cash. Now, it's also a very different story if you're talking about a one-off cash drop and a continuing cash drop every single year. Dynamics change, culture changes with that sort of change in the economics of how life works. So even in sort of Utrecht and Finland and, you know, these other places that have experimented with the scheme, if you only do it for a couple of years, you're not really getting a full look in at what would happen to the whole society if you were to change to this pattern going forward for many years. So I think it is something where we should just, you know, watch and learn. Actually, Australia's social support network is not too bad by developed country standards. I mean, we're probably in the top quarter of, you know, functioning governmental, targeted governmental welfare and social security support programs. Yes, there are problems. Yes, there is some inefficiency. People often talk about that and as a reason to move to the UBI, that we would be able to get rid of lots of government departments that administer, you know, the aged pension and new starts and all these things. And so there's going to be some administrative costs with that that wouldn't be there in the case of the UBI, where you can just literally cut checks for everyone, just, you know, deposit people's, you know, money in people's bank accounts. But
wow.
I haven't really seen a full estimate of those costs anyway. So, you know, that's sort of unclear whether that's really a true benefit.
There's a lot to think about, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, look, thank you very much, Dr. Ajici Foster, the Associate Professor from the School of Economics at University of New South Wales, giving us a bit of a lowdown on a new idea, or not a new idea, but a new way perhaps that we haven't thought about of rewarding or perhaps just allowing people to live a decent life with a universal basic income. Thank you, Gigi, for
coming
on.
Thanks, Roderick.
Okay.
Thanks very much.